Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the 4SC Q2 Results 2012 conference call. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to your host, Mr. Ulrich Dauer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon. Welcome to 4SC's Q2 2012 results conference call. My name is Uli Dauer, Chief Executive Officer of 4SC. With me on the phone today is Enno Spillner, our Chief Financial Officer, as well as Bernd Hensch, our Chief Development Officer, and Daniel Fitt, our Chief Scientific Officer. Before we start, let me remind you that in this call today, we may make projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. Now, with that out of the way, I will start giving you an overview of the most significant developments of 4SC in the first half of 2012, with a focus on the second quarter. Enno will then present the key financials over the reporting period before I will conclude with an outlook. As usual, we will then open the call for your questions. Now, this year to date, 4SC has continued to make essential progress and achieve significant milestones in the development of the group. During the second quarter of 2012, we made significant advances in the clinical development of our anti-cancer drug, resminostat. Moreover, 4SC Discovery GmbH continued its successful development after its operational start in January 2012. Our new subsidiary, which specializes in the discovery stage of drug R&D, secured additional contracts and thus generated further revenue. This was accomplished on the basis of the partnerships initiated in April with companies like Henkel and Quilox, but also through positive results from a research collaboration with the Japanese pharmaceutical company SKK. In July 2012, shortly after the reporting period, we announced that 4SC Discovery had also entered into a partnership with the German biotechnology company Ribological, with the objective to discover new cancer drugs. All this validates our business model and shows that as an innovative discovery and development company, we create value both in the development of our own product candidates and as a research partner for other biotechnology and pharmaceutical companies. Financially, we also progressed despite difficult market conditions in the capital markets. We managed to successfully place a capital increase with existing shareholders and new institutional investors, generating gross proceeds of 12.6 million euros. This shows the confidence of investors in our strategy and strengthens our resolve to implement it. On this reinforced basis, we can continue to develop our preclinical and clinical programs and achieve key value-creating milestones. We also have financial resources to conduct the license negotiations we are looking to hold with pharmaceutical companies from a stronger position. Our main focus is on developing resminostat further on the path to market maturity. At the ASCO annual meeting in Chicago and the ESMO GI in Barcelona in June 2012, we presented promising phase II trial data for resminostat in the liver cancer indication, which generated considerable interest among the scientists present, as well as among potential pharmaceutical partners. The results of the SHELTER trial indicate, in particular, that resminostat can offer a clear clinical benefit for liver cancer patients who no longer respond to sorafenib, the only approved cancer therapy available to them today. With a median progression-free survival, or PFS, of 4.7 months, resminostat as a combination therapy together with sorafenib has achieved, to the best of our knowledge, the highest PFS figure recorded to date by any second-line therapy of advanced liver cancer in clinical phase II studies. To this end, we were also delighted that our Japanese partner, Yakult Honsha, began clinical development of resminostat in Japan in May 2012 when it kicked off a phase 1 trial. This is significant for our further development strategy in Asia, where the high incidence of liver cancer makes this an extremely important indication, both medically and commercially. Physicians confirm to us that there is an enormous unmet medical need for novel therapies for liver cancer patients for whom there are currently no more treatment options available. Together with the regulatory authorities, we are currently working to prepare a global registration trial in this indication by mid-2013 in collaboration with a partner. If this phase 3 trial is a success, resminostat could be approved as second-line therapy in advanced liver cancer by as early as 2017. We believe that this indication alone has tremendous market potential. The broad applicability of resminostat's innovative epigenetic mechanism of action, known as sensitization, promises new, interesting treatment options in many different forms of cancer. We therefore expect that, in addition to the monotherapeutic profile it has already shown, resminostat has special potential in combination treatment with existing chemotherapy-based or targeted cancer therapies. At present, we are testing resminostat not only for liver cancer, but also in the colorectal cancer indication, here in combination with the established FOLFIRI chemotherapy. We believe that further solid tumor indications, like for example breast cancer or non-small cell lung cancer, can provide additional potential for continuing this compound's development in collaboration with a partner. We are awaiting the final results of the SHELTER trial later on this year with great interest and excitement. Especially, overall survival data will give a further important indication of the efficacy of the drug and could consequently be a crucial factor for the pharmaceutical partnership we are seeking. We are also very active in the field of autoimmune diseases, in which we are working on refining our promising vidofludimus compound. Recently published preclinical data in a kidney transplant model underscore the compound's broad potential. Since vidofludimus' excellent tolerability has already been demonstrated in several clinical trials, the successful clinical development of the compound for autoimmune diseases, chronic inflammation, and indications that require targeted immune modulation could constitute an attractive treatment option for the future. For the time being, we are concentrating on clinical development in the area of inflammatory bowel disease, such as Crohn's disease. Study results so far clearly support to conduct a clinical phase 2b trial, preferably with a partner, in this indication and with a start of the trial by early 2013. We are currently preparing this trial and are in talks with potential partners. Now with this, I hand it over to Enno for the key financials of the second quarter.
Yeah, thank you very much, Oli, and warm welcome also from my side to our participants. It's a pleasure having you here today on the call. What can you expect in the next few minutes from the financial perspective of the reporting? I will give you a brief overview about our key financial figures, of course, for Q2 2012 and for the first half year, which ended for us on June 30th, 2012. We will also take a brief look at our segment report and where relevant, I will give some outlook, some guidance for the next half year. And of course, all presented financial numbers do consolidate our numbers from 4C AG and 4C Discovery GmbH. In addition, I will also provide a little detailed more information about the capital increase, which we successfully concluded at the end of June of this year. Some general remarks. The presented numbers are in line with our expectations, which is quite positive. And besides the completed capital increase in June of this year, no further financial significant events happened that had a significant influence on our numbers of this year. Last but not least, I'm very pleased to inform you that our annual report 2011 once again received international awards from independent juries for its transparent and clear communication. This is now for the third year in a row. Now, let me start with a brief analysis of the income statement. First good news refers to the consolidated revenue. In the second quarter 2012, these increased by 68%, coming from 220,000 and going up to 369,000 in Q2 2012. And we had an even stronger increase, which we could observe on a half-year basis, where total revenues climbed from 220,000 euros in 2011 up to 734,000 euros in 2012. In both periods, revenue is composed of deferred income from the Yakult Honsha deal on the one hand side and from research collaborations on the other side. With 285,000 euros out of these just mentioned 734,000 euros, the discovery segment shows first and very promising contribution to 4C's total revenue. And we, of course, anticipate that 4C Discovery will deliver an increasing contribution to the financing of our research by generating additional revenue. The second good news is on the operating expenses. These operating expenses declined by 12% on the Q2 level as well as on the half-year level. It's going down from 590,000 euros to roughly 4.4 million euros during the second quarter and being reduced by 1.2 million euros during the first 6 months, respectively, amounting to 8.57 million euros. The main reason for this decrease is in the reduction of our R&D spending by 15% on a quarterly basis, accounting for 3.15 million euros in Q2, and having an even better improvement by 19% on a half-year basis when final R&D costs stood at 6.1 million euros compared to 7.5 million euros at the end of the first half in 2011. However, R&D spendings remain the main cost factor within 4C, accounting for more than 71% of all our spending. Administrative costs remained virtually unchanged, while distribution costs, which mainly consist of business development and public relations, rose by roughly 50% in the second quarter as well during the first 6 months of this year. Thanks to the reduced operational spending and increased revenues, 4C's operating results clearly improved by 16% to 750,000 euros down to minus 4 million euros during April to June 2012 and improved even 18% or 1.7 million euros reduced down to minus 7.8 million euros for the first half of this year. The loss for the period also improved year on year. For the reporting quarter, we experienced a 25% reduction coming from minus 5.24 million euros in Q2 2011 down to minus 3.98 million euros in Q2 2012. Numbers on a half-year level behaved alike, so we saw here also a reduction of the loss for the period by 2.26 million euros or 23%, respectively, going down to minus 7.68 million euros. And in consequence, the earnings per share reduced to minus 9 cents or euro cent per share instead of minus 12 euro cent per share in the relevant April to June period. And on a January to June EPS level, we saw an improvement of 25% or 6 cents per share going down to minus 18 euro cent per share. And also in respect of our outlook for the complete 2012, we do assume slightly reduced R&D spendings compared to 2011, and we also do anticipate a moderately improved operating loss in comparison to 2011. Now, if we take a look at the results from a segment report perspective, we recognize on an EBIT level the result for the discovery segment amounting to minus 1.85 million euros on a six-month basis compared to minus 5.82 million euros in the development segment. Just some brief comments on the balance sheet and the cash flow. Equity remains relatively stable at 23.34 million euros, which is attributable to the capital increase conducted in June on the one hand side, and on the other side we see the countervailing effect of the just presented loss of the period. Also, the equity ratio remains rather constant at 73% at the end of June 2012 compared to 73.9% at the end of 2011. And the total assets or total equity and liabilities respectively stood at 31.95 million euros at the end of the reporting period in comparison to 31.8 84 million euros at the end of December 2011, so also here pretty stable conditions. At the end of June, the current year available funds showed an amount of 16.28 million euros compared to 15.82 million euros at the end of 2011. And in respect of the cash reserves, let me add one important point here. As the new shares resulting out of the latest capital entries were registered at the commercial register only on July 3rd, 4C was not allowed to book the RGO of these shares still within June. And consequently, these extra cash of about gross 4.2 million euros is not recognized in our half-year numbers directly. So please add to this amount to your calculations when you're calculating our cash reserves, resulting into cash available for 4C of more than 20 million euros at early July of this year. Based on the current planning and assumptions, these reserves should get us until the end of 2013 at least, and 4C's average monthly cash requirements for the first half year of 2012 amounted to 1.16 million euros compared to 0.7 million euros in the first half of 2011. For 2011, please bear in mind that we received the 6 million euros upfront by Yakult Honsha, which of course was a significant relief for the cash requirements. For 2012 in total, we do anticipate an average monthly cash requirement of about 1.2 million euros. The number of employees, as one last important number, reduced to 90, coming from a headcount of 96 at the end of 2011. About two-thirds of all employees are engaged in R&D activities. Let me conclude my part of the presentation today with some additional comments on the capital increase. Oli already described the use of the proceeds and the rationale behind it. So it was an offering to existing shareholders and to selected institutional investors, also including investors from the US. It was not a public offering. We generated about 8.4 million new shares, which have been registered by now with commercial register. So in total, we now have 50,371,000 shares existing. The share price during the offer period was €1.50, which means a 28.9% discount compared to the Xetra closing price immediately before announcing the capital increase. Investors who did not, or shareholders that did not participate in this capital increase, experienced a dilution of 16.7%. And the new shares will most likely be registered for trading at the Deutsche Clearstream at the end of September after approval of the relevant prospectus by the BaFin. We have been supported by existing shareholders, our cornerstone investors, which is quite important to us, and I think is also a very good signal to existing to new investors. And about one-third came from new shareholders, institutional investors from the Benelux, from France, and from Scandinavia especially. And on this basis, we were able to increase our free float from 26 to 30% so that we could also, in this context, make our share a little bit more attractive to public markets. And we think having investments from existing shareholders and new shareholders is quite a positive signal. And having said that, I would like to give back to Uli Dauer. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Enno. Certainly our focus for the rest of 2012 will be on our main growth drivers, Resminostat and Vidofludimus. Thanks to the success of our capital increase, we have a sufficiently large financial cushion to ensure a successful outcome in the negotiations with potential partners at the start of the planned near-to-market trials with these compounds. Our intention is also to advance and complete the ongoing clinical studies with our anti-cancer compounds. We are expecting interim results from the phase 1-2 SHORE study with Resminostat in the colorectal cancer indication and results from the phase 1 patient trials with 4SC202 and 4SC205 before the end of 2012. Finally, we also anticipate being able to increase the value contributions from the strong early stage research being carried out by 4SC Discovery GmbH. Here, our aim is to expand our services and cooperation business and attract our first development and marketing partners for our early stage programs. Having strengthened our financial position and based on outstanding clinical results and operational achievements, we are looking in the future with optimism. The next few months will be groundbreaking for the future strategic development of our company. We firmly believe that with our balanced, innovative development portfolio, coupled with our exceptional biopharmaceutical research expertise, we have set the course for continuing the strong performance of the 4SC Group. Now with that, I conclude and open the call for your questions. And as I mentioned, all members of the executive team are standby for your questions. Operator?
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your question will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause while participants registered for a question. Our first question comes from Eduard Aubery from Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my two questions. The first one, according to your guidance, you have resources to fund operations until the end of financial year 2013. Could you give us some indication on what additional clinical trials is or are included in this guidance? And the second question is, you published some biomarker data for respinostat in HL. I guess it's fair to assume that you are running biomarker analysis on the shelter as well. I was wondering if you could update us a little bit here. Thank you.
Okay, Edouard, thank you for asking those questions. To the first one, what clinical activities are included? Certainly the completion of the trials which we are currently running, which means especially the rest of the shelter trial, where we expect final data during this year. The phase one trials with 4SC 202 and 203. It also includes the colorectal cancer trial with resminostat, and certainly the preparations which are necessary to move vidofludimus forward into a phase 2B trial, as well as the preparations for moving resminostat forward to the edge of starting the pivotal trial. The latter two, again, and we made this very clear, require the commitment of a partner.
Yeah, so this is Bernd Hent speaking. In terms of the biomarkers, of course, we are doing or performing the same biomarker analysis in the shelter trial, so in context of the HCC treatments, as we did for the other trials. You know that we have published out of our own research the identification of a specific gene expression marker that may be useful for predicting a response to resminostat in the Hodgkin's lymphoma population. It's ongoing work now being continued with the samples on the shelter trial population, so it's too early to conclude on that. It's ongoing work, but as we develop results over the next weeks or months to come, we will share that certainly with the community. So that is where we stand. Ongoing work, not yet anything to be reported.
Thank you, Bernd. I just was wondering, so do I understand correctly that we might get more indication on potential biomarker in the HCC indication in some months from now, so to say?
This is always difficult to say. I mean, this is complicated lab work, partly depending on the speed, resources, but also on the let's say, laboratory success that you need to do that. I wouldn't like to put a timeline on it. Having said that, you have observed that we already published data on VEGF as a biomarker on our last poster presentations at ESCO as well, at ESCO GI in June this year. So that was the first effort that we did perform and that were successfully published. And as we go through the data set and the sample analysis, we will simply see what comes up over the next months as we speak. But it's too difficult and explorative to really put timelines on it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Christian Glenn from Edison Investment Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. On vidofludimus in Crohn's, are you able to give some sort of guidance or insight into the nature of that trial design in terms of maybe patient numbers, where, you know, active comparators and things like that?
Well, I mean, we can give you a flavor of what we plan. I mean, what we plan for is a kind of step trial where we start with a setting in induction remission. Of course, this is being done in a randomized fashion and with multiple dose groups. The patients who achieve remission would then be randomized again and being followed up in a maintenance period for approximately 60 weeks so that the outcome of the trial will give us two answers, the potential of vidofludimus in the remission induction setting, but also in the remission maintenance setting. It's going to be a double-blinded placebo-controlled trial in both phases, which I have been describing. So that's what we're planning about. The size of this trial is going to be approximately 400 patients, so that's the order of magnitude. But we haven't included an active comparator in that setting yet.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. And on resminostat in the, obviously, your partnering situation there have been a few recent late-stage failures from other candidates in this setting or in related settings. Can you comment on those at all in terms of whether that has had any impact either way in terms of the partnering situation?
Well, you're absolutely right. There have been some failures. Just to mention Prevanip or Linifanip, and also Tasiba in combination with Sorafenib. I mean, what it tells us primarily is, that our assumption that obviously Sorafenib will most likely remain to be, the standard of care in first-line advanced hepatocellular carcinoma is important for us for the planning of our further trials. I think that's the key message. And, of course, it does also tell that, obviously, HCC is a tough indication, but the approaches are quite similar, let's put it that way, and all based on kinesis targets, whereas we, as you know, want to make use of a completely different mode of action triggered by resminostat as an epigenetic drug. So we really want to make use of the sensitization potential and prime tumor cells to respond differently to established regimens like sorafenib.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Victoria English from MedHouse. Please go ahead.
Yes. Ola, you mentioned in your introductory remarks that you were in discussions with the regulatory authorities about a global phase 3 trial for resminostat. This is, of course, pending partnering the drug. Can you tell us anything about the structure of that trial and whether, in particular, you're talking with the FDA about a special protocol assessment, for example?
This is Bernd Hensch speaking. I might comment on that. We did have scientific advice meetings with a number of regulatory authorities, including a number of national agencies in Europe as well as with the FDA. And our goal of these scientific advice meetings certainly has been to discuss, the advanced development of resminostat for the indication HCC, primarily discussing our goal for second-line development, but at the same time, certainly, we touched on the overall development for resminostat in any line of HCC. And at the end of the day, we did find now our way for advanced development of resminostat in first and second line development. Obviously, the focus of the scientific advice meetings has been the precise setup of second line pivotal trial that we currently have been engaged in and planning. However, we also touched on further steps of development, also covering potential expansion into the first line. But again, that would further on require additional scientific advice meetings to also explore the potential and clear setup of that line of development. Currently, we believe that we are now nicely positioned to really kick off a pivotal development in second-line HCC, specifically testing the combination of resminostat with sorafenib.
Has your confidence been raised as a result of the data that you received in the first half, a confidence that is that you could discuss first line?
Well, what we just discussed was in the previous question has been that a number of first line developments actually in phase three failed. So this furthermore strengthened in a way the question strengthens the idea that new options are highly required, not only for second line where there is nothing basically, but also to first line where there is only sorafenib. And again, you don't cure patients. They have a life expectancy of roughly 10 or 11 months after starting on sorafenib. So there is an openness of all scientific advice communities that we actually spoke to discuss a positioning of a new treatment mode in either line, second or first line. Yes, we discussed it, and the openness of the regulatory authorities is there to discuss positioning of this drug in either line of development.
Thank you very much.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. The next question is from Sachin Soni from Kempen & Co. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sachin from Kempen. My question is regarding, partnering ability. With, as mentioned, recent failures in this setting, do you see any change in your current ongoing discussions with potential partners? Do you see any positive or negative impact on that because of this? Thank you.
Sachin, thank you for your question, which is really a good one. Again, what is important in the discussion is really the solidity of our assumptions. And here again, what is important, and this is also reflected by our discussions here, is how certain can you be that, once we have the chance to enter the market by 2017, still sorafenib is standard of care. And in that context, I think there's more certainty now. The other aspect is really HCC, despite the fact that in Europe and U.S. it's considered to be an orphan disease, it's a, there's a huge medical need, and on a global perspective, it's the third leading cause of cancer-related mortality, so it's a huge market. And there is extreme interest to address this indication, and we feel that the failures you have been addressing are rather strengthening our position than the opposite. So yes, we do discuss it. We do feel an impact, but it's more a positive one than a negative one.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Then the next question is from Thomas Schüssler from Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Hi, gentlemen. Question on Resminostat and the tests you're running currently. We have seen some nice some nice figures if it comes to PFS of 4.6 months. What shall we assume for overall survival to make it happen that this drug will be a new treatment mode? Could you shed a little bit light on that? And a question on 4SC202. We have seen some failure with topo target drug. Is this a blow to all the HDAC inhibitors or only a blow to the oncology field? Thank you.
So let me start with the question as to what can you expect from overall survival. It's an easy answer because we don't know yet. We don't have it yet. But in an ideal scenario, we would like to see some form of correlation between the progression-free survival data and the overall survival data. The overall survival data are very objective data, as you can assume. It's being determined by events. And we are very excited to see those. They are important because obviously the pivotal trial in second line we've spoken about will have the overall survival as obviously primary endpoint. Again, there is no guidance we can give, but we certainly will inform the market responsively as soon as we can draw conclusions on the overall survival end.
Yeah, to the second part or second question that you asked in terms of Berlinostat and the impact of a failed trial or what the impact might be, well, it is important to note that that indication that was pursued here with Berlinostat was cancer of unknown primary, which, simply speaking, is a very difficult to treat sort of indication. It's even difficult to call it an individual or single indication. Rather, as the name says, it's a cancer of unknown primary. So there are, to be believed, secondary malignancies somewhere in the body of which nobody really knows the origin, so the primary tumor site. As you can expect, this is a very heterogeneous cancer population. Therefore, using a single treatment for and then expecting that you can achieve, statistical significance different at the end of the day is obviously very optimistic. And unfortunately, in a rather small cohort of patients that was performed with Berlinostat, that could not be achieved. But having said that, I believe this is rather due to the heterogeneity of that indication that was selected. Mm-hmm. And secondly, as you know, Berlinostat is an intravenous applied drug, which is applied to the patients actually even less frequently than we perform it with Resminostat as we speak. So I do not think that that has an impact on the HDAC field as such, and specifically the indication that had been selected with Berlinostat and the size of the trial that was performed probably did not fit with each other.
So 202 keeps to be...
Again, 202 is a totally different chemical structure to Berlinostat. It also holds specific features that are, besides having an epigenetic regulatory mode of action, also has a very strong impact on the cell cycle of cycling, proliferating cells, but furthermore also regulates features of cancer cell stemness as well as having an impact probably on those cancer characteristics that actually lead to metastasis. So we believe that the setup of 4SC202 with a multiple mode of action, so to speak, is very very different to belinostat, for example. So these are really two individual drugs which, in my view, can hardly be compared to each other.
Thank you for clarification.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There appear to be no further questions, sir. Please continue with any other point you wish to raise.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for joining in today. Despite summer holiday period, we certainly look forward to update you on next occasion. Have a nice rest of the week. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the full SC Q2 results 2012. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.